There are announcements to be made at this time. Students are reminded that they still have the opportunity to give to the support of Shaw University. As you leave chapel, Paige Shelton will be in the foyer to receive any contributions. If you have not given to the support of Shaw and cannot give today, you may take your gift by the business office before this Friday at 4:30 p.m. We urge all to give whatever they are able and to urge all whom they meet to contribute also. This comes from the Social Action Committee of the Student Coordinating Council. Mr. Zeb Moss, personnel representative of the Foreign Mission Board, will be on the campus Tuesday through Friday, April 14 through 17. Anyone desiring to consult with Mr. Moss should schedule a conference through Mrs. Elmo Scoggin today. I have the privilege also to announce that we are to have two lectures by Professor J. Roy Porter. He is professor of theology in the University of Exeter, Exeter, England. He is a distinguished scholar. He is currently a member of the translation panel for both the Hebrew and Greek sections for the New English Bible Old Testament. He will speak at chapel on Thursday and Friday of this week, April 9 and 10. I sincerely hope that you will be present and that you will invite others to share this intellectual and spiritual experience with us. Inasmuch as our senior class is quite large, we have found it necessary to divide the group alphabetically for the coffee hours. Therefore, all seniors whose names begin A through K are invited to have coffee with me and with members of the faculty in the cafeteria at 10:30 today. All seniors whose names begin from L through Z will meet in the cafeteria at the same time on April 22. Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead us.
Our responsive reading is entitled God's Forgiveness.
Let us pray. We thank and praise thee, O God, that thou art good and ready to forgive. Enable us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as thou hast forgiven us. In thy presence we remember those for whom we have promised to pray today. We think of those for whom it is our privilege to pray before Thee. Grant unto each one the gift needed from Thee. We commit to Thy care those who study and those who teach upon this campus. We pray that Thy love may restrain us from evil, that Thy love may constrain us to overcome evil with good, and that Thy love may sustain us in the responsibilities we bear. We pray for those who have gone out from this place of worship and study into the churches of this nation and of other lands. Let Thy life-giving word guide their minds and comfort their hearts today. And for ourselves, we pray for wisdom and for strength with which to meet the duties confronting us in the work to which Thou hast called us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the volume entitled The Responsible Self, published posthumously, Richard Niebuhr indicated that the Christian thinker is concerned primarily with four questions. What is real? Who am I? What is going on here and now? What should I do? As we wrestle with these issues, we encounter the question, who is a good minister of Jesus Christ? This is an exceptionally difficult question. But I venture to draw attention in these moments to three characteristics of a competent Christian minister in contemporary society. Let us begin with the presupposition that a good minister of Jesus Christ has a sense of mission and a sense of direction. After a comprehensive survey and an intensive study of theological education in the United States and Canada, Richard Niebuhr drew attention to the diversity and the vitality of what is going on in the theological seminaries, and then expressed the conviction that the central issue is the call to be a minister. And in a small group in California, he said that the most surprising thing that came to him in the study, and this is surprising, was the centrality of the call to the ministry. Some of you will remember that he spoke of the call to be a Christian, the secret call which a person hears in the intimacy of his interior life, the providential call that came in part through heredity, the whole heritage, and finally the ecclesiastical call, the call of some religious group to a place of ministry. And then he said, the church everywhere and always has expected its ministers to have a personal sense of vocation. This personal sense of vocation involves an awareness of dependence upon God. For my own part, I lay to heart the declaration of Dave Napier in the Song of the Vineyard that the one essential, universal datum of man's life is his immediate, direct, total dependence on God. This sense of vocation, this sense of direction, this sense of dependence upon God are essential in the Christian ministry in our time. I think it is about four times as difficult to be a good minister as it was when I was ordained to the Christian ministry. But if I could turn back time to 1928, I'd rather be a good minister in the pastorate of a Baptist church than anything else on earth. Two, in addition to a sense of mission, a good minister of Jesus Christ has a love of learning. He is eager to know the truth and to encourage thoughtful men and women to see truth and righteousness for themselves. This love of learning motivates his study of the arts and sciences in college and university, his effort to master theological disciplines in the seminary, and his struggle to maintain scholarly habits of lifelong study in the search for knowledge and a trustworthy interpretation of life. Only a love of learning will motivate consistently this type of systematic, thorough, scholarly endeavor. I see no possibility whatsoever of meeting the challenge confronting us in the months and years ahead unless we have a true love of learning. and enough objectivity of mind to follow truth wherever it leads. And in the third place, a good minister of Jesus Christ thinks of himself as a servant of God and participates in the creative task of building up the church in faith, in truth, and in righteousness. He learns in his own experience the relevance of the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. I drew attention the other day in Dayton, Ohio, in fellowship with six men representing theological education in the United States in relation to three foundations, to the relevance of this chapter. The 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, as translated in the English Bible, speaks, I think, to the condition of a theological student and at the same time to the condition of the president of a theological school. Let me read from it. I have been constantly on the road. I have met dangers. I have toiled and drudged. I have often gone without sleep. Apart from these external things, there is the responsibility that weighs on me every day. My concern for all of our congregation. I do not find here a cynical attitude toward the church. I do not find here an attitude of complacency about the church. I find here a genuine concern for the churches. A good minister labors with this concern. He cares for, he is disturbed about, he is eager to promote the true well-being of the churches. This concern is expressed in the earnest effort to understand the faith, to proclaim the gospel, and to teach committed persons the Christian way of life. This terrible sense of strain under responsibility is felt by most of the students in this school. It is felt by all of the teachers and administrative staff on this campus. Hardly a day goes by that we could not say with Robert Frost, I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep. But this deep concern is sustained It is sustained by the assurance that God is building His church according to His redemptive purpose, that He knows what He is doing, and that His intention will be achieved. And we carry this concern with a high sense of gratitude and of privilege. We thank Thee, O God, for a sense of mission, for a love of learning, and for an opportunity to serve Thee through Jesus Christ, our Lord.